Faithfulness in a new year. There are two passages we're going to look at mainly. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9, which Jacob read. And then Genesis 39, which is probably a passage of Scripture that helped shape me as a young person as much as any other passage. And it's a story about Joseph and the temptation of Joseph and the trials of Joseph and exactly what he went through. But I think of the word faithful. I was, you know, contemplating, you know, what do I want to be this year? What do I want to be, period? But what do I want to be this year? And the word faithful came to mind. And I'm going to talk about faithfulness in some areas that maybe we don't think of that much. But the first thing I want to mention is, and I know you agree with this, but I want you to really, you know, just let this sink in. God is faithful. You know, He is faithful. We see in Scripture that He is faithful. His kingdom and His dominion endures through all generations. Lamentations 3, 21, 22, and 23 give us that great hint. And He says, I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. And what is the hope? Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And then that line, great is your faithfulness. Now, when I think about faithful, I put a little thing here in the outline. Faithfulness involves the keeping of our word and the fulfilling of our responsibilities, even when the objects of our faithfulness are unworthy. Now, that's the definition of what God does for us and how we ought to do for each other. God is faithful even if we're unworthy. If you want a really good demonstration of this, read the book of Hosea. And it talks about, you know, Hosea and Gomer and how Gomer cheated on Hosea again and again and again and again. But Hosea was still faithful to Gomer. And he's writing that in relation to God and Israel, how Israel kept cheating on the Lord, but God is still faithful. And I think about faithfulness in many areas of my life, and it reminds me, I've never been in the Air Force, which you know. I've never flown planes, but you know how planes fly in formation, and you count on the guy on this side, and you count on the guy over here. He has your back. He has your wing. He's watching this, and you fly in formation. Or whittle it down to things not much more, much less important when you play sports. You count on that guy to be there. And, of course, even in officiating, you count on this as well. And sometimes we throw each other under the bus. You know, coach says, and well, I said, that wasn't my area. But we try not to throw each other under the bus. But you have each other's back. And we have a phrase that we use, save the crew. Even though it's not your responsibility, at times you save the crew anyway. Because you want to be faithful to your brother. You want to fulfill your responsibilities. Every day when you get up, especially if you have kids around the house, you know, they don't want to philosophy. They don't want to talk about the economy. They want to know, are there Cheerios in the cabin? Or whatever you eat. Hopefully, well, maybe it's not Cheerios. Somewhere along the way, we quit eating Pop-Tarts, and breakfast hadn't been as fun, but it's been more healthy, I guess. But, you know, is there something there? You know, all I really care about is, you know, here's this meal. When they go to school, they go and they expect a routine. And they expect things to be the same, although they change maybe during the semester, but they expect sameness. As we get older, sometimes we we look for the excitement instead of the routine. But it is in the routine where we find faithfulness. And I started reading about this a week or two ago because I was looking for, you know, highlights or looking for to be fulfilled in the routine of life. The routine of life teaches us about faithfulness. Now, I don't know. I'm going to just ask for a show of hands here. Who does laundry in your house? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And we have a kind of a split thing here, but now Christy would iron anything I asked, but I iron my own clothes. And I don't want to give you, yeah, I know, yeah. And years ago, I was at a Promise Keepers deal, and they ruined it for me. And the guy said, you know, you ought to iron your own clothes. But I said, okay, you know. So I started ironing. Now I iron shirts, and I used to take all my shirts and put them in the cleaners, but they ruined them all the time, so I started ironing my own shirts. And I told Jacob, I said, Jacob, I'll iron your shirts. And I told Benjamin, I'll iron your shirts.
You want to iron mine?
Well, I can anyway. You don't know the pile of shirts I have, because they accumulate. I'm gonna let you know. I might be a good ironer, but I'm a slow, you know.
But you do it quicker.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. But you have to be faithful in doing those tasks. You have to be faithful to complete tasks. Somebody has to think of these things. Somebody has to let the dog out. You got to be faithful to do that. Somebody has to pull the weight of, you know, getting food together. Somebody has to cut the grass. I remind Christy of that all the time. I go, I cut the grass. You know, she's, I'm tired of hearing about that. But you know, you have these things. We are faithful. When you have a job situation, are you faithful to be there? Faithful to do what is necessary? Faithful to do the task that you're expected to do? Well, God is faithful, and we should reflect that. Now, there's a little story I heard. And there was a farmer, and he hired a farmhand. And the farmhand, as they were talking, the farmer said, "What are your qualifications?" And the farmhand said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." And the farmer was, you know, really perplexed by this, but he hired the guy anyway. And not long after that, a storm came. And as the storm came, he started going around and looking, and he noticed that the farmhand was in his little shed, sound asleep during the storm. But the farmer looked at all the farm implements, and they had been tied down so they're not blowing away. All the animals were in the barn taken care of. Everything that could come apart in this mild storm was tied down because the farmhand had already done what he was supposed to do. Therefore, he could sleep when the storm blows. That's my parable for the day. And there's a little poem that goes with that. It isn't the things you do, it's the things you leave undone, which gives you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. And so true is that. Now, I want to point out something. In our lives, we have to-do list and tasks. I mean, you know, I asked around our house, I said, what do we need to do around the house? And we're going to compile a list, and, you know, and we compile these lists. And I mean, it starts from the step, you know, those brick steps as you come into the house, the top one's loose. You come in the door where there's a piece of thing missing there. Or the dog might have, the dog put a hole in this. And you have all these tasks and they get so overwhelming and it seems like the work is never done. Can I hear an amen on that? And that is sometimes just the life in which we lead in this fallen world. But when we take care of our task, take care of our responsibilities, when we're faithful to the cause, it's amazing how heartache starts to go by the wayside. Now, Genesis 39. There is a guy named Potiphar, and he is the captain of the guard. He's the general. He has the military responsibility. And he's Egyptian, and he brought some of the Ishmaelites down there with him, and Joseph was one of those. Joseph was a slave, as you know. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. And Potiphar had Joseph come and be the head of his house, the butler, so to speak, the person who ran his house, the estate. Potiphar didn't have time for this. Potiphar was out in military duties. Joseph, you take care of the economic responsibilities. You take care of hiring and firing. You take care of the house. So Joseph had this great responsibility, and it says in chapter 39, verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Now, you know, being in charge of somebody who has great substance is quite a responsibility. So here was Joseph, and Joseph was faithful. The Lord was with him, but a temptation came along. And we understand this temptation. We've read about it before, and it said in verse 6 there, now he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him he had no concern. Potiphar said he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. That'd be nice. I would like to have that. Somebody take care of everything. Because you got to pay them. But, you know, that would be my concern. But I'd like somebody to take care of everything. Just feed me the food. You take care of the bills. You take care of this. You take care of the laundry. You take care of the grass. I just want to float in when it comes to supper time. Like I did when I was a kid. Just float in at supper time. But here he was. And it says at the end of verse 6, and I think this was a quote about me, but it had Joseph, you know, included in that. It said, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. What a description. Yeah. And, you know, Christy sees me as handsome. The rest of the world just is out to lunch. You know, she has those eyes that are, you know, made for me, I guess, you know. But verse 7, it says, after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Go to bed with me, Joseph. Now, can you imagine? He's running this house. And the Egyptian women, as you probably have seen from the Ten Commandments movie, they were known for their appearance and their beauty, you know. And here she was, and she looks at Joseph, and I can imagine her talking behind his back a few times. And man, you know, he's something else, you know. And after a while, she said, Joseph, go to bed with me. Now, I doubt this was over the morning news. She probably tried to lure him, you know, in. And he refused. It says in verse 9 there, in verse 8, he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in it, this house, than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you. Because you are his wife, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Now, it's interesting. He looks at her and he says, how can I do this thing against God? You are his wife. He's given me everything. I can do anything. I can drive the sports cars, or the sports chariot maybe. I can drive this. I can do this. I can eat whatever I want. I boss people around. I hire and fire. I'm the guy in charge. I can have anything on this estate except for you. Now, how, if he gave me this responsibility, could I be unfaithful to him and unfaithful to God? So the key is, can we be faithful in spite of temptations? Faithful in spite of trials that come our way. Now, this temptation was a temptation to fulfill a natural and legitimate need. And, you know, here's this young man, Joseph, handsome, and she was hitting him at this point. And Joseph was from a long way off. He was in a strange land. He could have said, you know, well, when in Egypt, do as the Egyptians. Potiphar's away. He'll never know. Let me, you know, take advantage of this situation. She was beautiful, I'm sure. He had just had this big promotion. He was feeling his oats. He had all the worldly reasons to not be faithful, but he was faithful anyway. I want to mention a couple things. This is out of the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. It says that temptation is never from God, but temptation starts from within. When we give in to the lust that pulls us our way. And he could have given in. And I want to say in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says there's a way out of temptation, which we sometimes don't look for. But when we have temptations come our way, the way to be faithful is, number one, deal with it immediately. Do not let it languish. When you have temptations come your way, in order to be faithful, deal with them immediately. Don't linger. Second thing, deal with them realistically. You know, there are times to stay and to face things, and there are times to get out of dodge. Now, if you look in this passage, if you keep reading there, it says in verse 10, she spoke to Joseph day after day, but he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, and she caught him by his garment. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've never had a girl, you know, grab my garment. I can't, you know, I cannot do without you, you know, Andy. I never had that happen. And she caught him by his garment, and she said, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. There are times when we must know where we are, and we must know that we are in a vulnerable spot and we have to get out of dodge. So we deal with it realistically, but we also deal with it ruthlessly. I mean, sometimes we have to be ruthless in dealing with these temptations, and very consistently and, of course, confidently as well. But in the context of being faithful, we sometimes don't just have temptations. We come and have trials. Now, look at the trial that came. She cut him his garment, lie with me, and he left the garment in her hand, and she left. Verse 13, as soon as she saw that he had left her garment in his hand and fled out of the house, she called the men of the house together and said, see, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And when he heard the loud voice that I lifted up, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. She lied. Isn't there a, she lied. And here she was. She turned this temptation that Joseph was faithful in around on him. And now he has a trial. What do you do during the trial? Can you be faithful then? I remember seeing Jesus own trial, and he was faithful to the Lord. Now, can Joseph be faithful as well? As soon as his master heard these words, his wife spoke to him. This is Potiphar now. This is the way your servant treated me. His anger was kindled. And Joseph's master put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I want to say this. This is a little bit of Andy looking deep into the passage, but this is what I believe after thinking of this passage. Potiphar knew that it was not Joseph who perpetrated this. He knew his wife. Because indeed, if he thought Joseph tried to tangle with his wife, to go to bed with his wife, to lure his wife into bed, most likely Joseph's head would have been off by the end of the day. That was standard operating procedure. But his anger was kindled, maybe at himself, maybe at his wife. I don't know, but his anger was kindled, and he threw Joseph into prison. And in spite of all of these things that happened to Joseph, it says the Lord was with him in verse 21 and showed him mercy. Verse 23, the Lord was with him, and he made all that he did prosper. And if you continue to read the story of Joseph, you know eventually he is the governor of the territory. Eventually Joseph rises out of prison and becomes the leader of the area. So I say that to say this for us. Where we find ourselves today is a place where we have to learn to be faithful. And I mentioned, I've got a few ways here in, for us to be faithful. I think there's six. And you can expand this list. Number one, we should be faithful to God and His Word. In being faithful to God and His Word, I want to mention some scriptures or read some scriptures. Psalm 62:5, for God alone my soul waits in silence, my hope is from Him. All of us have, at times in life, we have our faithfulness put to the test. And we must learn to rest on the Lord and know that even when we wait in silence, our soul can be renewed. And we can be faithful to His Word. And when we're faithful to His Word, we have the blessings of His Word. Did you hear Jensen this morning? Jensen, he was talking this morning about this and how so many times, we want the blessings of the Lord without being faithful. And there is a principle there. We're faithful to Him, and He is obviously faithful to fulfill His blessings. Psalm 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, we do a lot of storing up. I have things stored in the attic. I have to go looking for things, and sometimes it's days. I get lost in there for days. Where is this thing, Or I might, something I need from my desk drawer or whatever it might be. Do any of you keep receipts? Why do we keep receipts? I've got them all over the body. Well, this might be counted for this. This might be counted for that. And, I've got receipts. And about December 31st of each year, what am I keeping all this stuff for? And I try to whittle it down to keep the important things. But sometimes you need a receipt. I guess that's when we keep them, right? Sometimes you need a receipt. And you take the receipt and you go and you take something back to the store. Sometimes they don't say anything. But every now and then they'll ask a question, was there something wrong with this item? And it might be as simple as, yes, I don't like it, or yeah, it didn't do what I wanted it to do, got the wrong thing, and whatever it might be. And you explain why you're bringing the item back. When Christy and I have issues of deciding on certain things we like or dislike, we bring our cases before the court. I want that to be yellow. And I say, I want that to be blue. Now, which color do you think it ends up being? Yeah, of course. Yeah. But when we bring our case, and you know, the Lord helps us to put the word in our heart so that we can bring our case when it comes time to be tested in the area of faithfulness. God will bless us when we abide in His word. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Isaiah 26:3, you keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I want to have my mind fixed on the Lord so I will remain faithful to the Lord. It's hard to be faithful to someone that is very distant. It is hard to remain faithful if you're distant. But when it is right before you, you are faithful to those things. I remember when we would cook, desserts and so forth. And I made a dessert, my key lime pie, which is world famous. And I made the key lime, and I made one at one of the graduation parties. And I did it just perfectly, and there's that key lime pie. And I decided to make a second. And I made a second, and somehow I didn't put the right amount of sugar or something in there. It wasn't salt, but it was really, kind of a very subpar pie. And Christy's daddy was there, and I kept thinking, yeah, I make the best key lime pies in the world. I mean, you have key lime pie, oh yeah, oh yeah. So finally I forced a piece of key lime pie on, and I got it out of pie number two. And he ate the pie, and he was nice about it and so forth, and I was like, I bet he liked that pie, And later on I tasted the pie, and I said, I did something wrong. Has that ever happened to you, Elaine? Probably never has, Elaine. It's happened to me. I did something wrong. And I did not pay attention to what I was supposed to do. Therefore, I slipped in my execution. One of the ways we are faithful to God's word is we just talk about His word. We read His word. We bring it to the kids. I got a new flip calendar for Christmas. One of these deals has a Greek word of the day. Today's word, it's a big long word, can't pronounce it, but it means umpire or rule and official. Yeah, referee. It is the word referee, meaning rule in your heart, rule. And we thought that was pretty neat. But be faithful to God and His word. It means as a husband, when in doubt, I'm going to do what God's word says. I started thinking through this. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. My goodness. That means I'm going to give up my rights and put my life out for my wife. The second way we're faithful. We are faithful to the church of Jesus Christ. Not just the local church, but to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. The Bible also speaks about giving preference to the household of faith. Now, I'll tell you what I think this means. Now don't hear me say the wrong thing. But, even in our business transactions, we ought to give preference to the household of faith. Now, if a guy's a Christian over here and he's selling lawnmowers for an outrageous price, and there's a heathen over there that's selling them for a fair price, I'm going to the heathen. I mean, don't get me wrong. But we give preference to the household of faith. I do this, don't you? I mean, there are places I go sometimes. I don't want to go, but, I know these people, and they're mission-driven people. Years ago, it's all changed now. But when Speedy's, which I love Speedy's, when Speedy's was the original owners, they closed on Sunday and he used to give money to missions. And so we had a Free Methodist meeting one time and we were suggesting places to eat, and we said, Speedy's down there, they give money to missions, they're closed on Sunday and so forth. So if you want to just honor a Christian group, a Christian family, go to Speedy's. And one of the ladies asked, she said, well, are they part of our group? And my dad shot back and said, yes, they're part of the family of God group. You know, something like that. And, you know, giving preference to the household of faith is one way we're faithful to the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And I say that we need to pray for our leaders, pray for pastors, pray for missionaries, pray for moms and dads. We need to be in a place where we are faithful in our prayers, faithful in our encouragement. Number three, faithful in your family. You know, this is really, really a key thing. We could sit here for hours and hours and hours. We won't do that. I'll let you do that later. Ephesians 5:22-25 talks about, you know, husbands and wives. We understand those verses. But we're faithful in our families. You know, I want Benjamin to be able to count on me. And here's where I want him to count on me. Count on me to do what I'm supposed to do, yes. But I want him to be able to count on me in that if he comes to me with an issue, that I will not give him a stone when he needs bread. I will not give him a serpent when he needs food. And I want that faithfulness to be a two-way street. We are faithful to one another. I'm faithful to think of you. Faithful to pray for you. Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. And, you know, we are faithful in the sexual areas, and we should be faithful in spiritual areas as well. I want Christy to be able to count on me. That when I go to Publix to get the groceries or whatever I might do, she doesn't like me to go get groceries because I only get what's on the list and only what's on the list. And she says, I remember stuff when I get in there. I said, that's the problem. Let me go, you know. But she, you know, that when I go in there, I represent the Lord, I represent the church, I represent the family, that I'm not going up there to cause shame on her. I want to be faithful as a father. That when we go to things that involve the kids, that when I'm there, that I represent them and I don't bring shame on them as a father. We need to be faithful to our families. Ephesians 6:1-4, and we talked about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Number four, be faithful in your finances. You know, we have, you know, this is a big, tricky thing sometimes because we live in a day where money flows so differently than it ever did in the past. Our economy is built all on fiat money versus having cows that we swap and bartering and so forth. So it's just a different system in which we live. So we must be careful to be faithful to this. Now, I'm going to read a verse. And this verse is so convicting for me that it's hard to read. But I'm going to read this verse anyway. I started to scratch it out because I just don't want to hear it. But it's Proverbs 27:23. And it says this, know the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. And I take from that that in our finances, in our house maintenance, in our marriage maintenance, in every area of life, we know the condition of what is in our care. And we give attention to our herds. Now, you know, if we were cattle farmers, anybody know a cattle farmer? I guess our, you know, Christy's cousin Clint has a herd of cattle. He's a teacher, but he has a herd of cattle. If you have cattle, you give attention to the cattle. Now, I have a friend who lives in McMinnville, Tennessee. And he is connected with a dairy farm there. Anybody ever worked on a dairy farm? There's two things you got to do on a dairy farm. And you do them twice a day. Milk the cows. Every day. Christmas Day, we milk the cows. Don't feel good, we milk the cows. Because you must milk the cows twice a day. 6 and 6, 7 and 7, whatever it might be. But you milk them twice a day. And, you know, if you just decided, I'm not going to give attention to that, things start to happen. When you don't give attention to your flower bed, you get weeds. When you don't give attention to the children, you get weeds. When you don't give attention to your marriage, you get weeds. When you don't give attention to your finances, you start to find holes in your pockets. When you don't honor the Lord and you let things rot, they indeed rot and they're no good for anyone. Luke 14, 28 through 30. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and cannot count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or Malachi 3:10 talks about the simple tithe. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and therefore put me to the test. Underline that. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Jacob and I were talking about something we heard somebody say just recently in thinking of this year. The first thought you have in the morning to the Lord. The first part of any financial resources you have to the Lord. The first action you do to the Lord. In other words, first fruits. I want to dedicate myself to the Lord. And this is true in the area of finances as well. We do this every year. The last money we spend in a year is in some kind of donation. And as a matter of fact, Christy always does it, but she wasn't feeling well last night. And so I got on the computer and did it. She said, you've already done it? Yeah. The last money we spend each year is going to be an outflow, you know, for something that is not necessarily for us. Be faithful in your finances. Be faithful to the Lord in your finances. Number five, I put it down here, be faithful to the country and community. I don't know how this all fleshes out, but we are placed here in 2017, and we are placed here, we were born as citizens of this country. We were born in these communities in the United States, whether it be in the Midwest or in the South, wherever you are, but they're all communities that are similar. So we need to be faithful stewards in the places in which we have been placed. Romans 13:1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Here we have a constitution that is our governing authority. Whether Congress adheres to it or not, Christian people ought to, because that's our governing authority. I hate, matter of fact, if you and I want to sit down and split one of those Cokes that Sharon has, those nice Cokes, and eat some peanuts, I could sit for hours and I will talk about my view on income tax. I think it's ridiculous to tax productivity. Tax consumption, but we'll get into that. We can talk about it one day, and I'll get fiery in the face about it. But I'm going to tell you this. Every October, April 15th to October 15th, whenever you actually, you know, file taxes, I do it and do it honestly. Because I am faithful to what I am commanded to do, even though I don't agree with it. I'm sure we could all, you know, fit into that category in some ways. You know, the regulations. I mean, I'm dealing with Jefferson County Friday, getting all the stuff submitted by the end of the year for the, you know, the business stuff. And you go through the hoops and all the stuff you do. And, you know, I say, I don't feel like doing this. But as a faithful man of God, I do it. Romans 13:2, therefore whoever resists the authorities which God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. When you resist, I don't mean we don't share our opinion, but when you resist, in other words, I try to skirt and hide, then it's like we have done it unto the Lord. Final thing in this, being faithful to your own country, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I urge you that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And we need to be faithful in our prayers for our country. Like him or not, be faithful in praying for President-elect Donald Trump. Like Jeff Sessions or not, well, he may not be our senator, but like Richard Shelby or not, be faithful in prayers for him. And by the way, let your faithfulness flow to your pen or your email too. If you want to send something to them, you encourage them one way, do it. Do it mightily. Number six, be faithful in the marketplace. Now, this could be a workplace, or it could be where you go in the highways and byways. Being faithful in the marketplace. The marketplace of ideas, the marketplace of commerce. Be faithful in those things. Be a good citizen in those things. Be honest and above board in those areas. 1 Timothy 2:1-4, we read just a second ago. But when you think about verse 2, for kings who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in all ways. That's what I want. This is good and pleasing in the sight of their Lord and Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Or Ephesians 6:9, masters, do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Let us not be unswerving. The Bible talks about God's faithfulness is not swerving. Let us be faithful in the marketplace. Faithful to be honest. Faithful to be true, faithful to be good to our word, faithful to complete our task, faithful when we work for someone to give them fairness. I pray on Friday nights, and it's hard. I don't know, this is so hard. After watching Alabama game yesterday, I wanted those officials by the neck from the neck. Anyway, I've watched, you get out there on the field and you want to have partiality. You see one kid over here and you say, you know, he's a lot weaker than that guy. I want to give him deference. But you can't do that because you go by the rules of the game. One team's getting beat 40-0 and you want to let things slide over here because you feel sorry for that team. Or maybe you just don't like the coach over there. And you have to say, go back to the Greek word of the day, be the ruler, be fair in what you do. And that's what we need to do in our marketplace as well. Be fair in our dealings. You know, there are people who are really trying to rip you off. Would you agree there? They're rip you off. And, you know, we see all the time, especially older people, they're preyed upon, their emotions are preyed upon. Next thing you know, they're giving this to that, and it's going down a rabbit hole or rat hole. We get that. But we need to be not on that side. We need to be fair with people, honest with people, and be faithful in the marketplace, faithful in our jobs, faithful in our task. Well, those are my thoughts for the first day of the year. I encourage us to be people who are faithful. Faithful in the mundane routine of life, loving the routine of life even. Every day is not exciting. You're not at Disney World every day. You're not at a ball game every day. Some days are just one foot in front of the other. And as I do that, Lord, I want to be found faithful. God bless the faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you to encourage us, that you can encourage us through your word to be just faithful men and women. Help us to understand that each day, as we are faithful, and maybe not many people see it, there may be no recognition, no stories written about it, but when we do that, that is part of our daily sacrifice, our daily worship for you. Help us to find meaning and worship each day just by being faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.